Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We are in our series of sharing Jesus confidently. So this is week three. We had Pastor Cherie preach, and it was on the screen. We had a live stream from Newmark City, and she preached about going out of the upper room, not just being about God's presence to yourself and just seeking God all by yourself and not just being in church, but actually going out of the upper room and just sharing the gospel, sharing God's love wherever you go. So she spoke about that. And then last week, I got to share with you guys, as you heard before, about if you don't, who will? So last week, that's what we spoke about. If you don't, who will? If you don't share the gospel, Jesus' story, God's story, who will? If you don't pray for someone else, someone at work, someone that God puts in your life, could be your parents, it could be your cousin, it could be at that family gathering, if God puts it on your heart, if you don't share a word of encouragement, if you don't pray for them, who else is going to do it? If you don't, who will? If you don't shout them a coffee, who will? So last week we spoke about for them to hear it, for them to hear the gospel, you've got to proclaim it. For them to experience God's power, you've got to demonstrate it. And we talked about, do you have a fire in you to see lost people saved? Do you have a fire in you to see people get saved? Because it's so easy to get caught up in our day-to-day lives. We forget that we have the presence of God in us. We have been saved, but that other people need it. And we also spoke about, when was the last time you lit up a dark room? When was the last time you lit up a dark room? Because as you carry God's presence wherever you go, things will just shift. People notice it. You make a difference. So that's what we spoke about last week. And it was all based around Luke 19, verse 10, which says, for Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus came to do, to seek and save the lost. We've all been lost. We might still be lost. We need to be found. But being lost is just someone who does not know God, someone who has not given their life to God. Because God has been seeking each person, has been chasing each person from the moment they're born. Because from back in creation, when Adam and Eve messed up, sin came into the world, and we're all born as sinners. And we're all separated from God. But God made a way through Jesus Christ. That if we believe in Jesus, what he did on the cross, that God sent his one and only son, that he died on the cross, that he paid the price, that he rose again after how many days? That he rose again and that he's coming back. When we believe that, when we confess that with our mouths and believe it in our hearts, we're saved. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. So we get to tell that to people. We get to share that. That's why we're here. For the lost to come to know him. So if you don't, who will? So that's God's heart. Now, today we're talking about, so how do you do it? It's Friday night. Hey, what were you doing Friday night? Thank you, Jesus. So we're talking about, so how do you do it? Evangelism. I don't know what you guys are thinking about. So we've talked about if you don't, who will? We go out of the upper room. So I want to talk a bit about actually how do we do this thing called evangelism. If you do the sharing Jesus confidently course, you get a lot of the practicals. Some of us did the intensive. So we're just going to cover a few things on how do you actually do it. Because I believe in this room last week, people got fired up for the lost. I believe people during the week, the radar has been up. You're like, oh man, should I share the gospel with that person? Oh, should I say Jesus loves you? I was at Nando's the other day and I said to the guy, God bless you at the end. And his face just changed. not in a good way. And I just kept walking, but I could just tell that did something to him. Because he's thinking, what is this guy on about? God bless you. And I could just tell this guy knows God. I thought, I'll just leave him with that. Someone else will deal with the rest. Leave that with God. But I know people were fired up to share the gospel, to share Jesus confidently. And some of you stepped out in different ways. Some of you are still thinking about it. But I just know God's doing something in this room, in this house. We had people go out on the streets on Thursday night. One of our people in the church have gone, hey, let's go out on the streets. There was 9 people that went to Southland just to share the gospel with people in different ways. So we're going to see more and more of that happening. So when it comes to evangelism, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. We read this last week. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 says, as for you. As for who? Yeah, as for us. Always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This work of an evangelist is for all of us. We all have a story. We all have Jesus' story. And we're called, just like Timothy was called, to fulfill his ministry, to make disciples. And Jesus actually gave you and I authority. Hey, you got authority? Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20 says, for I have been given the authority, Jesus says, in heaven and on earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe my commands. And he says, behold, I am with you always. So Jesus was given the authority, but then he says, go therefore. He's speaking to all of us. Go and make disciples of all nations, all races, all backgrounds. Baptizing people, teaching them all my commands, all that I've taught you. But he says, you don't have to do it by yourself. Shay, you don't have to do it by yourself. How good's that? That's good news. You got the Holy Spirit. He says, behold, I'm with you always. So he gives us the authority. And he gives us his Spirit. He just doesn't say, go, you've got the authority. He actually says in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. He just doesn't give us authority. He actually gives you power. You guys have it. He says, power to be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, to the far ends of the earth. So we have authority. We have power. We're being called to be evangelists. But you guys are like, evangelists? I've been like that too. Evangelists are like, oh, that's for so-and-so to do. Hey, you want me to share the gospel with my client? You want me to share the gospel with my patient? He came to seek and save the lost. Oh, that's not my thing. I'll invite them to church. Maybe they'll hear something. But I'm not going to share that. That's not my thing. So what's your thing? If that's not your thing, what's your thing? Because it's his thing. He came to seek and save the lost. And he wants us to make his thing our thing. And what I love is it's the one thing, sharing his love, sharing his gospel, sharing the truth. And every person in their heart, they have room that nothing else can fill but that truth, that Jesus came to save them. So you might think, oh, that's not my thing. Oh, they're not going to receive it well. But there's room that God has made in everyone that nothing else can fill. Not music, not drugs, not relationships, not money. Nothing else can fill it but God and his gospel and his truth. So that's his thing, his story of salvation, that he wants to reconcile you and I into relationship. But you can say, that's not my thing. Let the pastors do it. But you see, with this one thing, there's many ways that we can do it. Stella loves to go on the street and preach the gospel, but we can't all do it like Stella. She's got her revelation, but there's many styles to evangelism. That's what I want to talk about. styles to evangelism? What are the styles of evangelism? Anyone got style in this place? Hey, look at how everyone's dressed, hey? Let's just do a little catwalk and see the different styles in the place. We got the carpet ready to go. But there's so many different styles of evangelism, ways of sharing the gospel. There's the proclaimer style of evangelism. So this is someone, and I don't even know, Stella, how you do it. I just know you're an evangelist, but I reckon you're one of those proclaimers. Hey, Jesus loves you. And you just give them the gospel straight up. See, that's a gift to do that. You need a clear communication gift to be able to just give the gospel, stand at the corner. Hey, everyone, today is the day of salvation. Who needs Jesus here? Imagine at Flinders Street doing that. People do that. You know, they're proclaiming the gospel. But you can also proclaim in private. Just tell people, this is what the word says. Just be straight up. I want to do more of that. Straight gospel. There's verses that will come up there. Just write it down. I'm going to go through these very quickly because there's so many styles of evangelism. So that's proclaimer. And then we've got the storyteller type of evangelism. See, Jesus told many stories. He told parables. You know, he preached in ways people could relate. He'd capture people with stories about things that actually they can relate to. We can tell stories. We can tell our story as we speak to people and they can relate to it. And they get captivated and you bring theology into that story. So you can tell different stories of the Bible. Oh man, your name is Daniel? Dude, there's this guy in the Bible called Daniel. Tell him the story. And then next thing, he's getting revelations. Storytelling. What else have we got? More styles of evangelism. Any intellectual people here? Smart people? See, smart people won't tell you they're smart. They're humble. But you see, you can share the gospel using apologetics. Apologetics is all about the reasons for defending the faith. It's about defending the faith. 1 Peter 3 around 16 says, you should always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. So if you looked at those scriptures up there in your Bible in your own time, you'll see where people are reasoning, people are having discussions, people are backing it up with even facts from history. You know, there's things, manuscripts that can still be found, things that can still be found from back in the days that support, you know, what happened in history. There's always things you can find. So you can use intellectual evangelism. As you can hear, that's not my thing. Someone got that. Because there's many styles. So there's apologetics. Any people love apologetics here today? Yeah, my man. Yeah, that's it. I love apologetics. It's just really answering the hard questions, really getting, we can do that. Don't just, oh, it's all by faith, brother. It's all by faith. No, there's actually answers. Also, faith works hand in hand. We have this. And all apologetics is getting into the word, studying it, mining it for what it is. And then there's relational evangelism. That's my kind of evangelism. Let's just do life together. Get to know someone, establish relationship with them, get to know them. And then when a moment comes, a real strategic moment comes where you can actually share the gospel with someone. And you just don't get into relationship to wait for that moment, but you're just doing life with people, but you're being yourself, you're being open. And then stuff just happens in life and people will just open up and you get to share the gospel with them. Or they can just see from how you live and they'll just open up. So that's relational evangelism. Last week, I've been preaching about sharing Jesus confidently. We go to the park, me and the two boys, our sons. We're playing in this little park close to our house. Meet a young dad, he's got a 6-month-old and a little 3.5-year-old. So just have a quick chat with him. The kids are playing. Then we're walking home. Isaiah says to me, Dad, how come you didn't share Jesus confidently? Like Larry and Melina and this kids team, what are they teaching our kids? Got my son saying, Dad, what happened there? You didn't share Jesus confidently. And I was like, Zay, sometimes you got to do relationship evangelism. I said, I just got a sense talking to him that I'm going to see him again. He's told us where he lives. He's in the neighborhood. I didn't get a sense from the Holy Spirit to jump on him and say anything like Jesus loves you or share a prophetic word. I just enjoyed getting to know him. His name, his kids, talked about kinders. But I had a sense, hey, I might see this guy again another time. And part of me could think, oh yeah, you missed the opportunity. You're never going to see him again. You should have said something. And then that was it. But then yesterday, we're at a whole different park and Candace was there with us. Next thing I see the guy there at the skate park. And I thought, I'll just wait for a moment to see if he remembers me. I won't say anything straight away. And he's standing next to Candace. They're talking about the kids. He doesn't even know she's my wife. They're just chatting with a few other guys. Next thing he goes, oh, Steve. I'm like, oh, he remembers me. And then he goes, oh, where's Isaiah? Where's so-and-so? And then we had met his friend, had a great chat with these guys in Chelsea. Candace connected really well with them. Now he knows we're pastors. We didn't get into anything, you know, about God or go deep. But I'm like, that's relationship evangelism. Well, I know we're going to see him again. I just get the sense. And they're so nice. We're so excited. So that's relational evangelism. So there's many styles, huh? Many styles. Then there's service evangelism. Service evangelism is about when we do things to care for people, we help them out practically, we go out into the community and we do things, acts of service. Acts 9:36 talks about a lady called Dorcas and all the things that she used to do out of love. Service evangelism. Anyone love service evangelism in here today? Great. And then there's power encounter evangelism. Power encounter. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit, that there's so much power in the Holy Spirit that we have. It's when you have a situation with someone, you might be praying for them for healing, or God gives you a word for them, or something that's just going to be so evident that God is at work. You know, we hear stories of people praying for people on the street, and then that person didn't even believe, but they go, what did you do to me? What did you do to me? It's like, bro, that is God's presence. So there can be those dramatic encounters, divine appointments, Holy Spirit encounter. You stop someone in an UGG boot. I mean, moon boot. And you pray for them. UGG boots, they're fine, you know. They don't wear UGG boots to church sometimes. But power encounters. So many styles. Prophetic encounters. A prophetic evangelism is, you know, I've given a few examples last week where we're just sitting in a cafe talking to the waiter or the waitress, and then you just get a sense of a word from God, a word of knowledge that actually speaks right into where they're at, where they're thinking, how did you know that? And you didn't know that, but just God gave that to you in that time. These things, if you actually pray, God, show me what you're doing in someone's life, show me what he will show you. And what I love about prophetic evangelism is it's an affirming thing. When you give someone a word, just like I did with my sister Sky before, there was no discouragement. I was affirming her. I was encouraging her. I wasn't doing it for an example for later. I'm just giving you an example now. But it's affirming, right? It's biblical. It's based on the Bible. So when you're prophesying, giving a word to someone, it's affirming. It's biblical. And it's like Jesus. It's Christ-like. That's prophetic evangelism. See, there's so many different styles to evangelism. There's an invitational evangelism. You invite people to things. You invite them to church. You invite them out for coffee with your people, with your family, with your crew. You're just being inclusive, hospitable, bringing people, including people. So many styles of evangelism. And then there's a testimonial one, last one for now. That's where you give a testimony. It's like, hey, I got healed from this disease. God healed me. You tell them the story. You tell them the story about the restoration of your marriage and how that happened. Whatever story, whatever God's done in you is not just for you to keep to yourself, but you actually seek a connection with people through your story. You just give them a testimony. You're testifying. What's being a witness? It says, be a witness of Jesus wherever you go. Being a witness, you're actually telling people what you've seen, what you've experienced. So you give testimony. So these are the different styles of evangelism. And I'm sure there can be more and more, but I just want you guys to get that. This is for all of us. This is for all of us. And when you're sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus confidently wherever you are, you also need to think about where people are at in terms of, is it a child? Is it an adult? Is it a senior? Is it someone who's a teen? So when you're speaking to children and you feel you've got something to share with them, you know, in a safe space, you actually need to bend down and go to their level. Encourage them, share whatever it is, but be enthusiastic and gentle at the same time. If you're sharing the gospel with a teenager, you better make sure you know who you are, because they can smell fear. They can smell people that are confused from a mile away. They just got to know. You can't fake it till you make it with teenagers. So make sure you're ready, because they'll be like, no thanks, see you later. If you're talking to an adult, just look at them in the eyes. Look at them in the eyes with respect. Same thing with seniors. Bend down just like with children. And just be sincere. Slow down. So there's many types and styles of evangelism. What's your style of evangelism? No matter what it is, no matter what your style of evangelism is, you'll come against something. Just have a think for a moment. What will you come against when it comes to sharing the gospel?
Just taking off my jacket.
When you're trying to share the gospel, you come against heat. So much heat. But you'll come against fear. It's a real thing. Fear is real, but actually someone's defined fear as being false evidence appearing real. That's a four-letter acronym, false evidence appearing real. What is fear? See, what we fear, when you really think about it, it's actually not all that real. What are you afraid of? Most times we're just afraid of ourselves. We actually get in the way. We need to get out of the way, because the Holy Spirit's trying to work through you, but you're in the way. What obstacles do we come across, do we face when we're wanting to share Jesus confidently? In your Bibles, just go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 to 3. SJC, sharing Jesus confidently. I'm just looking forward to so many stories from you guys on what you're experiencing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. It says this, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't receive God's grace in vain. For he says, this is what God says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. This is what God has done. In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation for many people. In here, out there, but every day is a day of salvation. And then verse 3 says, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found. Have you become the obstacle yourself to yourself sharing Jesus confidently? Are you in the way? Have you become the obstacle? See, fear comes when we're looking at ourselves. Just think about it. Anytime God gives you something, share this with someone, step out and do this. It's only when you're actually looking at yourself, at what you can do, what you can't do, that fear creeps in. But when you look at God and you look at the truth and you look at the good news that is available, you've got nothing to fear. Because the one whom we're supposed to fear is not the man. It's not humankind. It's God. God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we can have a reverent fear of God. So there's different kinds of fear that we face when we go to share Jesus confidently. Obstacles to sharing Jesus confidently, fear. So can we just have the slide there that shows the types of fear? See, these are the types of fear that people struggle with. Fear of man. Fear of rejection. Fear of not knowing enough. Fear of not knowing what to say. Fear of failure. See, we can know that we need to share the gospel. We can want to share the gospel. But fear, it's such a real thing when you go out there or a moment comes. It can cripple you and you can just walk away from it. Fear of man. See, fear of man is just you worrying about someone else. What they're going to think. What they're going to think. It always comes back to us. What they're going to think of me. But Jesus is like, this is not personal. It's not about you. Forget yourself. And just, you've said, God, I want to give you my life. Do what you want. So just do it. Just step out and just do it. Don't fear man. Fearing, if you're fearing man, it means you're not fearing God. You can't fear man and God at the same time. And they're two different types of fear. See, rejection, man, that can just put you right back in your seat. Because people will reject. A couple of years back now, back in 2019 in Richmond, I was working at the Richmond Church. And God was just firing me up for souls. I went to Citizens Park and wanted to share the gospel with someone because I was just too comfortable in church. I just needed... See, going out on the streets, we're not in here saying go out on the streets every day. When you actually go on the street and you talk to someone about Jesus, what it does, it gives you confidence. It breaks fear. It shows you that actually you can do this in your everyday life wherever you go. But going out on the streets just makes you step out and actually see people are hungry for this. But you don't have to walk out every day on the streets, hey, this is what I'm doing. But you just need to have a radar that God is at work and ask him, who do you want me to speak to? But we're not here saying go on the streets every day. But I was going to the park because I was trying to grow in this area. So I go to the park, someone's working out, I was by some gym thing in the park. I have a quick chat with him, nothing comes out of that. I sit down to have my lunch. I see this lady walking past me. She goes and she sits about 10 meters away from me. She's having a lunch. And as she walked past me, I just got this sense that God wanted her to know that he loves her. And I'm like, okay. And then on this park, they were doing this repairing work, this restoration work of this park. And I just, as I'm looking there, I just sense God say, you go and tell her that I am doing a restoration work in her life, that I'm with her. I'm restoring her back to my original intention for her. I'm like, Lord, I don't even know this girl. Anyway, I'm like, I don't even know her name. Then a name came to mind. I'm like, oh, Lord, that could be a word of knowledge. You're giving me her name. So the name Lisa popped to mind. I'm like, Lisa. Well, if I can tell her, hey, Lisa, how did you know my name? Oh, well, I just felt the Lord said that was your name. Well, this is what the Lord wants you to know. So I just get my swag on. I'm like, let's go. Hey, yo, Lisa. I wasn't like that. She was on the ground. So I'm like, excuse me, just wondering, is your name Lisa? She's like, nope. And at that point, I could have just been like, sorry, wrong person. But I was like, all right. I said, well, as you walk past me, I just got this sense to tell you that Jesus loves you. And she said, oh, thanks. I said, oh, are you a Christian? She said, I am a Christian, but I'm not practicing. Then I said, oh, cool, since you're a Christian, well, as I was looking at the Citizens Park and all the work that is happening here, I just sensed that God is doing this. I told her what I said to you guys. Then she just said, sure. Then I was like, all right, thanks, see ya. And then I just walked away and I was just like, man, did I mess that up? What was that about? And I really felt discouraged from it. But at the same time, I'd stepped out, I'd done what I thought God was saying to do. So I went back to work and I was a bit discouraged. And rejection. But actually, rejection gives you more confidence to do it again next time. Rejection breaks your pride. You think, oh, you're confident, you know what to say. It just brings you down to how you need to rely on the Holy Spirit every time. And you can actually turn that rejection into intercession. So what do we do with rejection? You turn it into intercession. What intercession means is you're praying for that person. So I still pray for Lisa, even though that's not her name. Right? For a few weeks, I'll just say, Lord, do your thing. God will keep working on those people. So you turn rejection into intercession. You know, we can fear that we don't know enough. God doesn't ask us to know enough. God just asks us to walk with Him, to seek Him, and to just obey Him. He'll give you understanding. Sometimes He won't give you understanding, but what He wants is your obedience. So do what you can to get to know what the Word says, to know His heart, but you're never going to get to a point, I know everything I need to know to share the gospel with people. Just step out. Fear of not knowing what to say. It's real. Fear of failure. But what does failure actually look like? You know, what is failing in sharing the gospel? How can you fail? You can't fail in sharing Jesus. You just don't know where someone's at in their walk with God. So you don't know how that's going to actually impact them. So we need to overcome this fear. We've got the styles to evangelism. We've got the obstacles to sharing Jesus confidently, which is really fear. But we actually need to overcome that fear. The Word says in Proverbs 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We need to pray for boldness. See, we're righteous because of what Jesus has done. He makes us righteous. It's not because of what we do, but our position in Him is righteous. So you pray for boldness because 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 talks about fear and it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-control. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So when you start being fearful, just know that is not from God. I'm not saying don't be real, that you're not going to get afraid. We get afraid. But when that happens, you turn to God and you remember what Paul's saying to Timothy, that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of love. He's giving you power and a sound mind. This is our portion. God did not give us a spirit of fear. He is our confidence. You overcome fear by knowing that. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, you can't serve God and also try to please people. But you put God first, you serve God, the right pleasing of people will flow out of you. The right pleasing of people. See, we can't just live to please people for people's approval. We live for the audience of one who is Jesus. And then out of that, love will flow for people. So I would not be a servant of Christ if I was still trying to please man. You're worried that someone's going to get offended if you share the gospel with them. What if one day you see them in eternity and they're going the other way, you're going that way, and they're like, I remember you. How come you didn't tell me? If God puts it on your heart to share something with someone, just do it. Just do it. Overcoming fear. Turn rejection into intercession. Don't focus too much on the outcome. See, we can focus too much on, oh, they said yes to Jesus. They said no, or they didn't talk to me. The outcome's not always going to be them saying yes to Jesus. Like I shared with you guys, that's only happened to me once in the last few months. We've actually seen someone come to Christ, prayed over someone outside church in a sauna, and they got saved. That's only happened to me once so far. But I know there is more. There is more. So rejection breaks fear. So we fear rejection, right? But actually, welcome it. Welcome the rejection. But how are you going to welcome the rejection? You actually got to step out, invite someone to church. For some of us, that's such a big thing. Imagine every weekend we could have each of us have someone with us because we've invited them. Someone was saying recently that it's only, I can't remember the percentage, but it was such a small percentage of people, if you ask them, that will say no. Most people, if you actually invite them to come to church, they'll come. But the thing is, we don't even ask, we don't even invite. But, you know, whatever it is you're sharing with them, welcome the rejection, because they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God, and you're just doing your part. Don't take it personal. Jesus didn't take it personal when people were beating him, crucifying him, shedding. He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Don't take it personal. It's not about you. They're rejecting God. And if you're worried about, you know, I don't know enough, there's a verse in Luke 12, verse 12, or I'm not going to know what to say. Luke 12, verse 12 says this, for the Holy Spirit, can we have that slide come up? Luke 12, verse 12, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. Don't worry about what you should say. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. God just wants you to step out. You step out whether Jesus loves you and you're thinking that's all there is. But as you start to talk to that person, more things just start to come as you tune into the whisper of God. So, you know, I got rejected by Lisa. She didn't reject me. She rejected God. And who knows, she didn't even reject. She was just being normal. I was being abnormal in a way. Who just rocks up to someone and says, hey, what's your name is? Are you Lisa? Like, that's not normal, right? But she's just being real and being safe or whatever. And I got rejected, but I learned out of that. But who knows what that did to her? You don't know what that did to her. You don't know what God was speaking to her already. So next day, what do? Next day, I go to the same park and I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? There's people everywhere, people who don't know you. I just want to share your love with someone. Walk around the block, I'm not getting anything. Then as I'm getting towards the end of my time, I see this man by the playground with his daughter. And I just sense God saying, go and tell him that he's a good dad and that Jesus loves him. Like, I'm a dad, I know what that's like. I can do that. But still, I'm kind of freaking out. So I go to this guy and I'm saying, excuse me, mate. I'm like, mate, you're a great dad. I just sense God wants you to know you're a great dad and God loves you. I don't even think I said I get a sense. I just said, you're a great dad. I was just looking at you and I saw, you can just be normal. You don't have to use all these words. Just use your own language. Hey, man, you're such a great dad. Like, hanging out with your daughter, this is awesome. Then I said, Jesus loves you. And he said, oh, thank you. I know Jesus loves me. As he was saying that, I noticed his scar on his head. It went from his neck to his head. And I said, bro, what happened there? And he said, oh, I had a tumor taken out 10 years ago. And I said, man, that's why you know Jesus loves you. You're a walking miracle. He's like, yeah. Then we start talking. His daughter's like, dad, what's a tumor? So then they're having this chat and we're chatting. He starts telling me all these things about what he thinks of God. And I'm telling him my son's names. He's like, Isaiah. He's like, yeah, I've spoken. this is what he said. He goes, yeah, Muslim people don't like that book, Isaiah, because of what it talks about. Probably because he's talking about Jesus and the prophecies. But he's telling me all this stuff, and then he's telling me how he's walked away from church because of something he saw on Facebook. So we have all this chat, and then I end up praying for him, and it was great. So how do you think I walked away feeling there? I'm like, yeah, we can do this again. Like, you get pumped. You know, I've been rejected, and then you get to pray with someone, and it just starts to become normal. But we can get really complacent in it too. Like, it's a weekly thing where we just need to remember God's heart. But we can overcome this fear. There's a thing called the Engel scale. I don't know how to pronounce it. But a lot of what I'm sharing today is from Sharing Jesus Confidently course. So this scale shows you the stages of someone's belief. So right in the middle, there's zero that says a disciple is born. That's when someone actually makes a decision to let Jesus come into their life. They give their life to God. But if you go all the way to minus 10, there's like awareness of the supernatural. They might just be aware that there's some supernatural thing going. And then there's number 9 is like no effective knowledge of Christianity. And it just keeps going, initial awareness of Christianity. So you don't know when you're talking to them where they're at. They could be at a place where they've just started knowing about Christianity. But you start telling them Jesus loves you, and then they get interested in Christianity, and it just keeps moving. They might not even know about the Bible, but now they start to know basic facts about the Bible. You just don't know where people are. Minus 3 is awareness of personal need. They start to become aware that actually I need a savior. I've tried to do it all by myself. I've tried to be good. Everyone's trying to be good, but we all still mess up. If you're good in here, good on you. But we all have good in us, but we also still fall short. So people come to the point of saying, actually, I need a savior. So you just don't know where they're at. And then you could be the one, minus 2, giving them the challenge and the decision to actually ask Jesus into their lives. But even after someone gets saved, plus 1, evaluation of the decision. You might talk to someone who's made a decision, but they're actually still thinking about it. They're still going through the process. You don't know what they're going through. So all these stages, no matter how long someone's been a Christian, you just saying Jesus loves you, you sharing the gospel with them, it's going to do something. They might need to grow in prayer. Plus 10, openness to others. Effective sharing of faith and life. It's like what we're talking about. Are you actually open about sharing your faith with other people? These are all different stages. And this is not like a this is how you do it thing. These are just examples to say everyone's will be at a different place. And when you share whatever God's putting on your heart, you don't know what it's going to do. And actually, you can't fail. You can't fail at sharing Jesus. You cannot fail at sharing Jesus. You will just be a little part of their journey. You're not the savior. We're not the ones who save them. God saves them. We just do our part and we give them that awareness of Jesus Christ. So we get to overcome fear. So where are we going with all of this? Sharing Jesus confidently. I really believe God's heart is for us to make evangelism a lifestyle. We talked last week about evangelism. A definition of evangelism can be that it's joining in a conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with someone else. Evangelism is you joining into a conversation that the Holy Spirit's already having with someone else. So we want to make this our lifestyle where we're like, God, give me opportunities to share your truth, your story. Give me opportunities to share my story. And I'm telling you, if you ask him, he will. And he's so patient. He's patient. You might not necessarily be like, yeah, let's do it. But because you asked him, he'll just keep nudging. And he'll bring people around you. He'll put you into people's lives that need the gospel. And just remember, don't stress about the outcome. Turn rejection into intercession. So make evangelism your lifestyle. It's just asking, God, what are you doing? You know what Jesus says in John 5:19? John 5:19, just write it down for yourself. It says, the Son, this is Jesus talking, he says, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Jesus said he can't do anything of his own accord. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. And for us, this is us going, Lord, what are you doing? Literally, you can walk into a cafe, sit there with your friend, and you could just be like, let's just ask God what he's doing. And it can seem like real petty, but you will be surprised. God will show you. It could just be when you're on the phone talking to a client or you're talking to a supplier. It could be anything. If you're just open, it's just one question in your heart, or you can speak out, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, you want to work through me? And you can just start speaking into someone's life without even saying, God said this, or I prophesy this. And they'll just say to you, man, that really encouraged me. Oh, that really touched my heart. But we've got to be in a place where we make it our lifestyle. You pray for the opportunities. And don't disqualify yourself because you feel like, oh, I'm not in a great place with God. God's like, you're exactly where I want you. You're saying that right now. I'm not in a place, great place. God can shift that like that. Just remember where you came from. You've come so far. You're not where you used to be. God can still work through you. He'll bring people into your life that remind you of where you used to be or remind you of what you might be struggling with. And he'll start speaking through you. So make it your lifestyle. People don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. So as you make it a lifestyle, just slow down in life to just care for people. Because we can just preach, we can share the gospel, we can hit the streets, but there's people in our lives that we need to actually go on that journey with. Care for them, show them care, show them love before you actually share the gospel. Pray for them before you share. And God will give you wisdom on who and how and why. But you just having the heart to make it your lifestyle will change things. Let's all stand together. There's conversations that the Holy Spirit is having with people all around us. There's many things going against the Holy Spirit. There's many things going against God's love. But there's many people that are actually ready to receive God's love. And God just wants us to tune into that conversation. Will you tune into that conversation? As we all tune into those conversations, tune into what God's doing, as we've done the Sharing Jesus Confidently series, I'm just like, man, watch out, Pneuma South. With all of us unified in wanting to see people come to know God, watch out, Pneuma South. I'm like, watch out, Bayside of Melbourne, because there's people walking around full of the Spirit, full of the Word, wanting to share it wherever they go. Watch out, Melbourne City. Will you be one of those people that say, I want to make evangelism my lifestyle? Will you be one of those people that God says, yes, my son, yes, my daughter, you've heard my call to be one that shares the gospel, that shares what I've done in you? What I've done in you is not just for you, but for you to share with others.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.